Chapter 4, The Big Picture. It's a lot easier to teach people about making money and generating cash if they know what a company does and how they affect its performance. Paint the big picture for them. Tell them why you're in business using terms they already understand. Then the numbers will make sense when you get to them. Most of the problems we have in business today are a direct result of our failure to show people how they fit into the big picture. That failure undermines company after company. We put a guy in front of a radial drill and tell him to focus all his attention on drilling a hole as accurately as possible. He does it. He drills the hole and watches the forging go to the next station, and he sees something fit perfectly into the hole he has just drilled. Then we come back and tell him the company is in trouble because of the way he is using his time. He can't understand. What could be wrong? His job was to drill the hole, and he did it perfectly. If something is wrong, it must be someone else's fault. The problem is that we never train anyone to look beyond their machine tools, or their computers, or their telephones, dollies, trucks, or whatever they use in their jobs. So they can't understand how the holes could be perfect and the company be failing. The big picture is all about motivation. It's giving people the reason for doing the job, the purpose of working. If you're going to play a game, you have to understand what it means to win. When you show people the big picture, you define winning. So these are the steps so far. Number one, create a series of small wins. Two, give people a sense of the big picture. And three, teach the numbers. That's the rough sequence. The truth is that we're always looking for more wins of any size and never stop reminding people about the big picture. Here are some ways to go about it. Give everyone a course in your business. Sometimes you have to make a dramatic statement to get people to step back and see how everything fits together and think about the broader purpose of what they're doing. I thought we'd reach that point through the end of my second year at the Springfield Renew Center. We turned the place around and made a lot of money. There were still a lot of walls between departments. I was hearing a lot of complaints. The engineers were making too much money. The inventory people weren't doing any good. There were misconceptions about the organization and how the different parts supported each other and what we needed to do to be successful. I wanted to break through the pettiness and tell people, come on, wise up. These are investments we are making in your future. One day in 1980, we shut the plant down and have everybody show up instead across town at the Hilton Inn, where they participated in what we called Employee Awareness Day. It began with workshops run by the different department heads. People divided up into small groups that went from room to room. They learned what each department did and how it fit in with what other departments are doing. The head of engineering explained how his department made it possible to take on new products and keep up with new technologies. The material departments put on a skit dramatizing what would happen if inventory really got out of control. At the end of the day, we gathered in the big room for dinner. I got up to introduce the feature presentation. It was an NBC white paper called If Japan Can, Why Can't We? I had seen it on television, and it really got to me. It was all about the Japanese challenge and Americans' lackluster response. It showed how U.S. productivity was declining and the long-term consequences for our way of life. At the end, the announcer said, if this trend isn't reversed, the next generation of Americans will be the first with a lower standard of living than their parents. When the lights came on again, I stood up and said, do you want this responsibility? Do you want to be the ones who started this decline? We've got to do something about it, don't we? I've never seen anything like the response I got. People were cheering, crying, yelling, and hugging each other. I knew then that they saw the big picture. Market your products to your employees. When I was put in charge of the assembly line at Melrose Park, quality was awful, productivity was awful, and life on the floor was a nightmare. Part of the problem was that the work was meaningless to the people. These guys had no idea that they were building the trucks that went out on America's highways, that they were doing something important. The company was spending millions of dollars getting customers to believe in our products, but we weren't doing anything to generate pride in our own people. So we went to the sales and marketing people and asked them to help us out. We put on a big campaign to make the guys on the assembly line understand and believe in the products they were making, and it worked. I'll never forget the day a guy came to me and said he was able to proudly tell his kid, "Your daddy built that engine in that truck," and he did build it. The lesson was, market to the people who are producing the goods. Move people around. We encourage people to move around the company as much as possible. I found out that people who had worked in two or more jobs had a whole different attitude about business. They were much better at understanding how different functions fit together, how they depended on each other. Even if people don't actually move from one job to another, you can broaden their perspective by taking them out of their usual roles and putting them in direct contact with another part of the business, or even dealing with customers. Draw a picture. Don't just tell people about the big picture. Show it to them. Put it in the form of charts and graphs. Anything that can be measured can be put into a picture, and those pictures can be very dramatic. At one point, we had a graph in the cafeteria that went right off the paper, all the way up to the ceiling. It was about the overhead costs, and it sure got people's attention. A company is just a means to an end, and the end lies outside the four walls of the business. So the real picture, the one that matters most to people, reaches beyond their paycheck out into the community. We put a lot of emphasis on community programs. For us, it's all part of the big picture. Partly, it's a matter of giving back. But we also benefit a lot as business by having people involved in community activities. It's a big inducement to practice what we preach. Our people come back revitalized and pumped up. Sure, it may mean people have to spend time away from their jobs, but what we get back as a company far exceeds what we give up. Go beyond quality. Educating people about the big picture runs counter to a lot of ideas that became popular in the 70s and 80s, notably the quality movement. Back then, I found that people who were into quality didn't care about anything else. One of my closest colleagues at SRC thought it was a big waste of time to teach people about the different parts of the business. "Why should a manufacturing guy like me care what the marketing people are doing?" he'd say. "All I care about is that if they do their job right. If I do my job right and marketing does their job right and all the other people do their jobs right, we'll have a successful business." You get quality by making sure people pay attention to the details, not by telling them how the company works. The argument sounds logical enough, but it's wrong. I knew from experience it was wrong. I had seen companies run that way. They usually had terrible quality, not to mention a host of other problems. When people focus on their narrow specialties, the different departments go to war. They don't function as parts of one company. You need more than quality to be successful. You need delivery, safety, housekeeping, the whole bit. If you want to measure, you should focus on the area in which all things have come together, the income statement and the balance sheet.